mining for details about a huge corporate acquisition.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. While you were eating that turkey, two giant companies were inching ever closer to a $33 billion marriage. Glencore, the Swiss commodities trading firm, is trying to take over a mining company called Xstrata, and the deal just got a stamp of approval from European regulators. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the details. And Stephen, let's start with the question of just what these two companies, Glencore and Xstrata, are.
Well, Glencore is a huge commodity trading company. It trades in anything from oil to coal, wheat, corn, barley. It's very big in copper and zinc, which means it plays a key role in supplying the car industry, for example, and in a wide range of consumer products and appliances that we use every day. It once owned Xstrata, a mining company, spun it off. Xstrata grew to be bigger and more profitable. Now Glencore has cleverly engineered what will, in effect, be a takeover of Xstrata.
So if that takeover goes through and gets its final stamps of approval from regulators, would there be an impact on consumers around the world?
Perhaps not. It's going to change the mining business. I mean, it's going to mean that one company is going to dig the minerals out of the ground, refine them, transport them and sell them. Is it going to mean lower prices, though, for the consumer products? A question for mining analyst Rupert Nathan.
I don't think that would be their prime objective. Whether prices do fall or they're more keen, I think that would be incidental. The objective would be to ramp up revenues in order to reduce costs, increase profits.
He says this merger will shake up the mining world. The combined group's likely to seek more takeover targets and could soon challenge the dominance of the world's top three mining companies.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, if you head out for some Black Friday shopping today, take a moment to think about where those products are made, probably in a big warehouse somewhere. But the way that warehouse operates may be changing with a greater focus on skilled workers and technology. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Mitchell Hartman reports.
Every day, tens of thousands of warehouse workers across Southern California lift boxes by hand or forklift on hot, dusty, sometimes dangerous loading docks. Contrast that with the spanking new Skechers shoe warehouse out in the desert east of Los Angeles. Israeli-born businessman Ido Ben-Zivi developed this $250 million warehouse complex.
We're surrounded by a tremendous amount of very sophisticated equipment.
The building's all shiny glass and steel, solar panels, and reflecting pools. You might think they were mixing pharmaceuticals or chemicals, but what the equipment is actually mixing and matching is shoes. 21,000 boxes every hour.
But somebody may order, you know, 30 shoes size 9 in blue and 12 shoes size 8 in red, and it has to pick all of these out of this huge, over half a mile long building.
The place is chock full of automated product pickers and computerized conveyor belts.
So this equipment can pick up all the way from a business card to a big box on its own. It will identify and understand exactly what it's picking up.
Does it then remember where it is when it needs to pull
it? Oh, absolutely. It better remember, right?
And here's the irony. For the 750 or so people who punch in here, the work is way better than in those old-school warehouses. The pay's better, it's cool and clean, there's even a gym. All this for a lucky few, says Ben-Zivi.
You're shifting people that may have been doing things manually to people who are programming the computers, managing the automation. There's probably less people, but higher skilled people required. But that's the nature of the world. It's sort of like if you had a typing pool in the old days with companies had.
And Ben-Zivi is off on a philosophical disquisition on technology and change, a future where shoeboxes zip by at breakneck speed with barely a human hand ever touching them. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And we've got some pictures taken inside that warehouse at marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.8% in Hong Kong, 0.1% higher in London right now. U.S. markets will reopen today for a short trading day. On Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow added 48 points to close at 12,837.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
If some of the ingredients in your Thanksgiving feast were a little more expensive than usual, it might have been due to the drought that hit the U.S. over the summer. That drought impacted 80% of the nation's agricultural land. And food is likely to get even pricier by Christmas, as Sally Herships reports.
Some farmers are selling off their livestock today because they're worried about how to feed them tomorrow. It's all because of the drought this summer. Leslie Levesque is an economist with IHS Global.
Prices for wheat and corn spiked dramatically in July.
Farmers managed to grow feed crops like corn and soybeans, but still.
What's not a shortage of feed? It's the high price of feed.
John Stanton teaches food marketing at St. Joseph's University. He says when feed prices went up this summer, farmers sold their livestock early and cheap. So if you want a bargain at the grocery store, buy a frozen turkey now. Stanton says the closer we get to Christmas, the higher food prices will creep up.
Keep in mind, food prices are not likely to ever come down.
Consumers in developing countries are eating more like Americans, with diets heavy on meat, which means more demand for some of our favorite foods. But Stanton says don't cancel your Christmas dinner yet. Retailers are under pressure to keep prices low, so they'll be eating a good portion of the increases. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, to a branding issue down in Mexico, or I guess I should say the United Mexican States. That's the official name of the country. But President Felipe Calderon wants to, if you will, get the United States out of Mexico and change the name to just plain old Mexico. Only one potential hitch in the plans. Calderon is leaving office a week from tomorrow. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.